time, the project will become decentralized, and that's really our big goal, is the token holders and the NFT holders become the main players in terms of how this game ecosystem grows over time.
Get them involved, right? Get everybody involved and just make it grow. That's kind of the idea, right? So
yeah, the players become your marketing team, right?
Bingo.
Boom, 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 boom.
What's up, everybody? You're listening to the Hustle and Flowchart podcast with your boys, Matt Wolf and Joe Fear.
Check it. Hey, welcome back to the Hustle and Flowchart podcast. Today, we're doing something a little bit new, a little bit unique for our show. We're doing an episode where we break down a game. We actually brought on the founders of one of the games that we're really, really excited about, and we're going to break down everything about the game. We're going to break down how the gameplay works, how you can actually earn from this game, how the NFTs work, how the land play works. We're going to get to know the team behind the game, and we're just going to deep dive into one very specific game for a full episode. You will start to see these episodes from us more and more as we get involved with more and more games. Now, Joe and I, we do own some of the NFTs for this game, so I want to disclose that we do believe in this game. We like the team. We like the gameplay of this game. We like where they're headed with it, so we did invest in some of the NFTs. We're not investors in any other way other than we do own some of these NFTs. Now, the team that we're talking to is the team behind a game called Psyker. That's P-S-Y-K-E-R. And you can learn more about Psyker over at psyker.game. And today we have Eric, Lucas, and Reese, the three founding members of Psyker, on the show to break it all down for us. And you're going to love this. This is a deep dive into the world of crypto gaming. And in this one specifically, one of the games that's on the roadmap right now, one of the games that's coming out fairly soon. So really, really excited to dig in with them. Now, Joe and I are doing something new as well, in that we have a new little mini course that we're putting together. We're calling it the Engineering Attention Course. One of the things that Joe and I realized recently is that what we do across all of our businesses is that we've always tried to engineer attention, whether it be for podcasting, for blogging, through paid media, through growth hack strategies, through social media, all of that. We're always trying to engineer attention. That's kind of been the common thread. So we decided, let's adopt this term, engineering attention. And that's what we do. And so we're actually putting together a little mini course where we're going to teach you a whole bunch of different kind of under the radar strategies to engineer attention for your business and your brand. Now, this is a work in process. So when you're listening to this episode, it might be fully complete. It might not be ready yet, but it is something that's in the works. And you can find out more over at attention.tips. That's attention.tips. So if you go there, you could either get on the early bird list to grab this course for free when it's ready, or depending on when you're listening to this, it could already be live. Now, it most likely won't be fully decked out and built the day this episode comes live, but if you listen to these episodes a few days or a few weeks or even a few months after they come out, then it will definitely be live, and you can join us on that little mini course over at attention.tips, and we'll teach you how you too can engineer attention for your business or personal brand. All right, let's go ahead and jump in with the Psyker team.
All right, Psyker team. It's cool to have all of y'all here. It's like the whole crew, huh?
Yeah, that is it.
All the co-founders under one roof.
Yeah.
Who should take the lead? Because I want to go around the horn a little bit just to tell our audience who we're chatting with.
Reese can take the lead on that. I can talk about the game and everything, but if...
Yeah, we'll just all kind of hop in and answer questions as kind of see fit. So we all kind of, yeah. You have the keys, Joe and Matt. Let's go.
Well, Reese, yeah, let's break it open, man, because so Psyker, you know, it's a very interesting game. You guys just finished up your mint. We're just going to, you know, this was a handful of days ago or so as this episode's going live, but still on the secondary, you could go swoop up a key card over there. I got a few myself, and I think Matt just snagged some too. So it's exciting, and I just wanted to tell you, like, because we had Justin Kahn on the podcast, a week or two prior, just for the listeners to hear, and he was raving about this. He was a big tech and nerd.
So. Been in last week's episode, so this is just a week later.
There you go, perfect time.
Yes, that is it. That is it. I watched that one. That was a good one.
Yes. Thank you, man. So yeah, I mean, Justin introduced us to you guys, and you know, Lucas, I think you were the first to pick it up on Twitter. So mm-hmm. I just appreciate all of y'all to make this thing happen on Crunch Week. I mean, you guys literally just completed a mint too, which I think will be fascinating. You freaking closed out in what, 25 minutes or something?
Yeah, the public. Yeah, 25 minutes. Yeah. Crazy. Swamped. Swamped.
Talk about that. Like, not many people listening have gone through a mint before, you know? So, like...
Yeah. Super, super exciting. I mean, the team over at Fractal, they were great. And Justin and David are awesome as well. But, yeah, kind of post our mint as well, they were like, yeah, we haven't seen that yet. We haven't seen... They're relatively new as well. So, it was exciting. It was exciting for us and everyone in the space. So, yeah, they're a great community. They got a great community over at Fractal.
Well, what like, was there any... Because I think it actually went fairly smooth, which most mints don't go smooth, but...
Yeah.
Learn anything new, or can you kind of tell us the inside scoop a little bit?
Yeah, Lucas was our the marketing mastermind behind that whole process. He's the community builder that executed it. But the support and executing the mint was just spectacular from Fractal. Their whole dev team and everyone was just very supportive. But from us as a from a community standpoint, I think really hit all the marks in terms of who we wanted to get in, and even us, we didn't expect that kind of result. We were quite ecstatic when it did happen. So moving forward, we appreciate the support that everyone's given us to this point, and we're just going to take it in and go with it for the next little hurdles over here at for the roadmap. So,
well, what's the would you say it was a big community? Like, was that the thing that really did it? Was driving up all the community? Like, Lucas, on your side?
Yeah, it was. So the whitelist was kind of obviously it was guaranteed mint, so it was like. Everyone's got a token, they can take their time, but when it got to public, it was like, I think David mentioned that we got 3,000 people in like 20 minutes trying to all mint at once. Yeah, on 500 key cards. So yeah, it was like tick, 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 gone.
So we got a marketing audience listening too, because that's, you know, that's our roots in marketing. So like, was there anything from the marketing side, like community building and all that? Like, was there some?
Yeah. We basically collabed with like all the big Solana blue chips, Solana Monkey Business, D-Gods, DJ Nape, stuff like that. All that community kind of come in. There was like hyped, and yeah, they literally sold out. It was insane. We grew from zero people on Discord from beginning of Feb to like 34,000 currently. Insane. It was just insane growth. Yeah. Everyone people showed up. Yeah.
And that's a whole thing to manage, man. Discord, because we have multiple, and I know that's no easy feat. That's where a lot of projects go to die sometimes, you know.
Yes, so. Very much so.
I'd love to get to know the team a little bit better and kind of what each individual background is.
Sure.
So maybe we just kind of go around the horn. Let's start with Eric, just because on our screen, that's kind of the clockwise way. But give us some background into like what you did before this and how you got into gaming and you know why you started going down this path.
My background, I've been in crypto for about 6 years now, working with... Reese and Lucas for a number of those years, met through business, became friends, and just been working on projects since. But my background is more so on the tokenomics side, business products. So I write all the white papers, I develop the initial concepts for the products of whatever projects I work on, this one being Psyker. For the game development, I work with the developers to kind of go through the item creation as well as the different features, and at a high level, just scoping everything out and kind of managing that. My gaming background, I've more an FPS player, competing in my teenage years in Call of Duty and Halo at an amateur level. But I grew up with video games. I play video games my whole life, building computers, that sort of thing. And I'm still hooked to playing video games now. I used to play a lot more fighting games when I was a teenager or a kid, and less so now. I just find that the game genre has been not as appealing. So that's kind of the reason why I went with Psyker. Is we looked at the industry, did a lot of research on the analytics and stuff, and saw there wasn't much innovation. So we think the fighting game genre is going to be big for Web3 and making a big push for mainstream adoption. So that's why we wanted to go with this route and choose this genre for the game we're making. But yeah, it's kind of high level my background and how I got involved in this.
Yeah, it's definitely a unique style game in the crypto space. So maybe we'll touch on that a little bit more as we break the game down for sure. But Reese, how about you, man?
Yeah, so as Eric kind of already made mention, yeah, we've been working together since it's been a couple of years here now. I actually come from a marketing background, so I worked in an agency for a number of years, and then I actually started my own agency. Still have a portion of that, and not so hyper involved with it anymore, but that agency still kind of runs in some regard. I'm a search engine optimizer, so that's kind of where I got my background. So yeah, very hyper focused on that, and then kind of got into the crypto space in early 2016, 2017, somewhere in around there, and kind of never looked back, I guess. So yeah, that's kind of a high level from a corporate standpoint and business standpoint. On the video game side of things, I mean, I've been playing video games since I was a little kid, right? So playing on a Dreamcast or an N64 and playing GoldenEye and doing all that stuff, right? So I played like amateur level, like Counter-Strike back in the day, like in a 1.6 level. So played a lot of first-person shooters. Don't really play a lot of like first-person shooters kind of in current market. I mean, I'm playing a little bit of some Age of Empires right now and stuff like that, but still play some still play some stuff here and there. But yeah, no, we're excited to kind of really blow the fighting genre out of the water here, so and kind of incorporate Web3 into it, and away we go.
That's awesome. My wife and I, we actually recently just busted out Age of Empires 2 and started playing Age of Empires 2 again recently. It's so much fun still.
Yeah, we've been playing 4 a lot on Xbox.
Yeah, the new one on Xbox Game Pass. Yeah, we have our team meetings over Age of Empires. Yeah. So.
It's brilliant.
A quick four-man or three-man. Yeah, it solves every issue.
Literally, we were just talking about how when Psyker goes live, and this isn't to like blow smoke or anything, but we're like, because I know there's like, you know, you can wager some NFTs and stuff like that. We're like, okay, got a little duel in the company or we need to talk some out. You know, like, oh, all right, who's the one? Let's wager it. Come on, let's go play on Psyker and blow it up, man.
Yeah, we'll settle our disagreements in the Psychoverse.
I love it.
And Reese, like, don't you manage the artwork and all that kind of stuff too? Or are you kind of the lead on that?
Yeah. So I work with like the basically the point man directly with a lot of the agencies that are facilitating a lot of like the stuff that we do. But also, yeah, point man directly with the designers and all that. So managing the brand and kind of facilitating the visuals, I guess you could say. So nice. Yeah.
It's a lot, man. Yeah. And then you have some sick visuals, man. So, yeah.
Thank you.
Clipping that up and showing it off.
Sweet.
Yeah, Lucas, I know you're a big marketing kind of guy.
Yeah. Where do I start? Yeah. Similar background to Reese, traditional marketing background, social media side, not SEO, then campaigns like app download campaigns for TikTok, 50 Cent, a few other rappers, stuff like that. Just general campaigns on Snapchat, Instagram. Got into crypto 2016. And yeah, just literally since then, game over. It was like, this is my jam, yeah.
Yeah, so is this like the first project you've come together on in the crypto space? Because it sounds like you might have had some previous ones you all worked on.
Yeah. So I guess through the ICO craze, worked on like a couple fintech-based, like gamifying financials on blockchain back in 2017. Reese, Lucas, and I actually got introduced like through mutual connections type of thing, and that's kind of how this working relationship transpired. But yeah, like ourselves, kind of working at consultants. They're the marketing side, I'm more the product, like tokenomics side of things. And yeah, we all kind of synergize in terms of our different skill sets. So it rounds well in terms of who carries what. And there's no like extreme overlap. So
I mean, we all wear many hats, but sometimes we have to share the hats, right? So I guess that's
yeah, exactly, kind of exactly. But no, there's a good dynamic here. So
yeah, man. Yeah. Well, it's tough to do. So I know that the fact that you have some history there always helps out any kind of project you're launching in, and you know, gives confidence to a lot of people too.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, tell us about the game Psyker, because like I said, I mean, we can all read the white papers, all that fun stuff. You just did the mint and blew it out in 25 minutes. I mean, so it sounds pretty hot. So like in your words, how would you describe it?
I'm super stoked for this. It's a fighting game like no other in the terms of what we're adding into the genre. So normal fighting games, you just have arcade mode and PvP and you go to the menu and you're immediately into the fighting matches. Whereas with this, you have the elements of the game world. So we're adding a social space where players can actually explore and find out more about this Psykerverse that we're building. They can engage with other players, and like through that social space, you can actually engage, like say like, hey, I want to 1v1 you and do your wager match there immediately. You can look at vendors, collect challenges to collect loot. You can find out game lore, find little Easter eggs. Your hideouts are going to be in that social space to access all your real estate type of thing. And then over time, we really want the community's involvement in building out that social space / game world, and they add on to the lore of the world, and it's going to be super community involved. Whereas that was the issue we saw with, I guess, previous Web2 games is once the developers stop supporting it, everything else goes out the window. Even if the community is strong, it can't survive. So we want to avoid that. And the itemization as well is a big thing we're doing for fighting games where we haven't seen it before, where it has that MMORPG spin where you can actually outfit your, instead of having, say, 20 predefined fighters, You have like four or five archetypes, and from there you customize them to your liking.
With custom NFTs as well, right?
Yeah, the customized NFTs, and that's the big part. So they're going to have small attributes to affect gameplay, but from a competitive standpoint, they can be turned off. So essentially handicap on, handicap off type of thing. But those enhancements will help you in the story mode in certain areas. So.
So there's a story mode, there's PvP, there's D-Gen mode. I mean, that's our internal nickname for it. D-Gen mode.
Tell them what like D-Gen playing mode. Playing for keeps kind of thing? Is that-
Yeah. So
internal, don't know if we're going to call it that yet, but I kind of like the name.
I like the name D-Gen mode. Yeah, so it's basically... You could play someone a one-on-one match. Maybe it's 10 minutes, 15 minutes. You can wager one of your NFTs or all of them and say it's somewhere in the equivalent ballpark. Like someone has $1,500 worth of NFTs on their character. Their person has 1,000. They can wager those and winner takes all. So if you lose, you lose all your loot. Then you have to go fight someone else and get it back or go buy it on the marketplace. So it's kind of like that Escape from Tarkov vibe where you go into a lobby and you gear yourself up. But if you lose it, it's gone. That's high risk, high reward stakes.
I think highly degen
to a lot of people.
Yeah. Well, I think Justin Kahn described it as Tekken meets cyberpunk, right? Yeah. So
It
looks very Tekken-ish with like the camera angles where it looks like it kind of circles around the fight and stuff, and it looks really. I think it's all built on Unreal Engine too, which is just
correct.
The best games these days are built on Unreal Engine. So I'm curious in the actual like the player versus player fighting. The person who spends the most on the NFTs, do they have a leg up? Like, let's say there's somebody that's playing for free and they don't have any equipment, and then you have somebody that...
Slightly, yeah. But they'll have a slight edge, but again, skill is everything in these types of games, right? So even if you have a 5% increase based on the gear that you're wearing, if the person's better than you, they're still going to beat you, right? So it's about mastering the game, and that's kind of what we akin to. And the free-to-play aspect, we want anyone to be able to come in and play. You don't have to spend, say, $100 on NFTs just to play the game. I mean, you could come in bare bones, just your character, no gear equipped, play against someone that has $1,000 worth of gear. You beat them if you're better, and then you immediately get equipped with $1,000 worth of gear, and you just continue Ka-ching. On type of thing. So
it's not play to win, it's play for fun, kind of.
play and earn type of thing. So you can play without any gear. You could do the story mode, PvP and stuff like that, where it's not a wager mode is just part of it. But the bigger picture is exploring the social space, doing the story mode, arcade mode, that type of thing. And then you can build something we're looking at is doing like a team mode where you can have like 3 to 5 of your friends team up, and it's like a tag team. So all your players line up in a certain order. You go into a match, and it's basically a race, of who can beat each other the quickest.
Tag team, almost.
Tag team, bro, come on.
That's it. Tag team wrestling, you know?
Old school, yeah.
Yeah. Or those games where it was like Marvel versus...
Marvel versus Capcom,
kind of like that, right? They would like tap out and the other player would come in and fight. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. So we're going to be experimenting with all these different things. And that's the cool thing about the keycard NFT we released is those community members that hold them will have to be able to have input on the development process as we move forward within our private community. So
exactly.
Pretty stoked for that.
Yeah.
I love the combo of everything and how, like you mentioned, and it might be interesting, you know, Eric, talking about the tokenomics too as we get a little further. I know you have some angles, but it's just this thing seems to cater to like all the different audiences. You don't need to pay to start playing. Obviously, game isn't released yet, but when it is, when is it going to be released? Do you have kind of a rough date?
We're shooting for Q4 of this year for kind of like an introductory level. Hopefully, I mean, we'd love to see it earlier than that, but might as well give us a little bit of extra. Yeah, exactly. Right. It takes time to make anything good. So
exactly. Very cool.
So yeah. I'm curious, like just going back to the gameplay for 1 second here. How does the actual land work? The hideouts. What is that? Because the PvP makes a lot of sense to me, right? It's the fighting game. But how does the hideouts fit into the mix?
So the hideouts are going to be generated through the styles and environments of the game world. So it could range. It's going to be ranging from like a sewer hideout where you have a cot in a sewer, or to up to like a robotics lab, all the way up to like a corporate penthouse where it's just decked out and everything. And those going to have values based on obviously what the community input is, but just overall in terms of rarities.
They're NFTs as well. So uh-huh.
Yeah, they're going to be an NFT collection. But the cool thing about it is you can update the metadata in these hideouts with all the items that you collect. So say you get a not so good hideout and it's not worth a lot in the market space or the marketplace.
Cardboard box or something.
Yes, there you go.
Cardboard box in an alleyway is something that we're looking at.
It might have a brick of gold in it, you know? Yeah, who knows?
Okay, so to incentivize, so if you have one of those hideouts and it's not worth a lot, to incentivize increasing the value, you basically build equity in your hideout by loading it up in the vault of that hideout with all the items and things that you collect. So It could be a very low value hideout, but then you load it up with all this loot and then someone goes and buys it off you, right? So that's the big thing we're looking at doing, is basically you can build equity in your own real estate within the game, which is, I think, not a lot of people are doing. And it's going to be very cool to kind of show. And like also achievements and things that maybe find Easter eggs in the game that no one else has. You can put that in your hideout. Automatically your hideout value goes up in value. So you can either sell your stuff individually or kind of package it all in one, and then someone can go and buy that.
Super dynamic. Right. Well, how about the tokenomics? Because I feel like you have a good, you know, like in play to earn, it seems like the tokenomics right now, it's like there's a lot of the same stuff being replicated in a lot of games. And we kind of brought this up to Justin a little bit too.
Yeah, well, in my opinion, a lot of the existing play to earn games, they have some flaws, right? You've got, you're seeing it with Axie Infinity, you're seeing it with Pegaxie right now, where people can go and play these games, they earn the in-game currency, but there's not enough utility for that in-game currency that they just become more and more inflated because there's not enough burn mechanisms to get rid of that.
Yeah.
But you know, I'm speaking to the choir. I think you guys understand that. So I'm curious, what's going to be different about your tokenomics? How is the in-game economy, the governance token? How does that all look for this game?
Yeah, so for us, we wanted to take a different ecosystem model compared to, say, Axie Infinity, where it's geared towards infinite growth and consumption in terms of mining and doing these certain functions. For us, we wanted to be able to sustain the ecosystem with, say, a cap of like 100,000 players. And then over time, due to the scarcity of just not just the token, but the NFTs, that value in terms of adoption will go up based on demand. So we're kind of doing a different model where we don't have to grow. It could be a tight-knit community that's very, very high net worth. It's kind of what we're trying to produce here. It doesn't have to be exponentially growing to millions and millions of players to be successful. So things we're doing in terms of utility for, so we have the NFTs that we're doing for the game, but we also have a fungible token we're launching, and we're doing a token sale for that. The token itself will be used for community governance, fees and the main medium of exchange on the marketplace, staking, things like that. So something we'll be doing at the start of the game, along with the alpha launch, is token staking, NFT staking. So you'll be able to stake your Psyk tokens. That's what we're calling PSYK is the token, and you'll be able to stake those. But on top of that, based on the NFT rarities that you hold, it'll add a multiplier to your staking pool. So it can be like, say you get base 10% APY, it could go up to like 20% APY based on the NFTs you hold. Outside of that, kind of the game economy, we're looking at like doing staking fees. Well, 100% would go to the game economy. NFT sales that are directly from Psyker would go 100% to our project development, but the community selling NFTs, still 95% would go to the user, 5% would go to
the royalty Psyker, fee,
for example.
Yeah,
royalty.
Yeah.
But out of those 5% royalty fees, we're looking at like 40% project development, 30% token burn, and 30% to the reward pool for the game. And we're going to be hosting a lot of online events too, and it's going to be the same split, 40% the project, 30% token burn, 30% online rewards pool, and then any play to earn mechanisms is along the same lines, 40-30-30 split. So we want to incentivize token burning and replenishing the rewards pool for a positive feedback mechanism for the players. But over time, like the big thing for the governance is people that hold the token as well as the keycard NFTs will be able to get into the DAO structure. What the DAO structure is going to do is vote on tokenomic enhancements, feature and game updates, community project grants, which is a big one because once we get community developers involved, they can start adding on things to the game and supporting it outside of just the core team here at Psyker. So over time, the project will become decentralized, and that's really our big goal, is the token holders and the NFT holders become the main players in terms of how this game ecosystem grows over time.
Get them involved, right? Get everybody involved and just make it grow. That's kind of the idea, right? So,
so like a community-led approach, basically.
That's it.
The players become your marketing team, right?
Bingo.
Exactly, yeah.
Smart. Yeah, and I like the idea of like capping the amount of certain elements in the game and even the people involved. And because it seems like you're going to get more of an Intuit kind of community. Like they're going to just rally behind it. They're probably going to give you the best feedback and take it from you.
We're going quantity over quality for this project. And we think, again, with this fighting game genre, it's really cool, like the battle of your friends and stuff like that. And the community element is outside of just Web3 for fighting games, and Web2 is so big for the community is so big that we want to capture that for this game. It's the main driver. I mean, the mass adoption really isn't there, but the communities that do exist are so strong.
Quality over quantity. Yeah, quality over quantity, always.
Probably going to tap a different audience, I would imagine, too, right? Like a whole different, you know, like not the Axie audience, most likely. I mean, maybe on the free side, but it seems like on the investor side, I don't know. Do you have like a target market in mind already?
For us, like we really do want to capture this, the average gamer that isn't really experience in crypto. I mean, there's so many of them out there. I think only 5 to 10% of gamers worldwide have actually adopted or touched crypto in some way. So for us, we want to attack that other 95%. And again, the fighting game genre, millennials, Gen Zs, they all touch it at some point, whether it's Super Smash Brothers, Tekken, Mortal Kombat, etc. So even if they haven't played it, they don't play it currently, they've played it in the past and can identify it in their brain. Whereas if it was like an FPS game or something else, it's like that's a smaller niche that you might be getting into. Whereas this can kind of get gamers from all different verticals across to kind of relate to it. So but yeah,
it's smart too, because I think like it's games, like we've always been saying, Matt and I and our crew at Hard Fork, is like, man, games are going to be the onboarding for crypto for a lot of folks that
we believe that entirely. Yeah
and you just learn so much just even buying your first NFT, which for you guys, just to shout you guys out, I know you can get it at fractal.is and a couple other I like to promote too, so there you go. Now you onboard people, but you actually, like, you can get, I don't know, a whole new target market, because there's like 3 billion gamers or something out there, I think, in total. And that's the kind of the metrics. And I guess
just the pie of that would be great, right? Like, yeah, just like 1%, 3 million people would be pretty good for a fighting game, I think.
Yeah.
So put it in perspective. Exactly. It's kind of wild how early we all are.
Now, is this game going to be console as well, or is it just desktops, or what's the roadmap?
So right now we're focusing on desktop and mobile. Based on the feedback we have from our current community, they haven't seen a good PC version of a Web3 blockchain game, so that's kind of our dedicated area at the moment for initial release, and then we'll adapt it to mobile over time, and you'll be able to do cross-play between
the two,
mobile. Yeah, mobile and desktop. But consoles are a bit finicky for NFT games. Yeah, I don't know if they're sure. We haven't seen any yet, and I don't think they're well receiving in terms
not yet
in terms of, like, the developer toolkits for consoles are a completely different beast compared to PC and mobile.
Correct.
So. Yeah, we know some that are in the works right now for console, but yeah, they're definitely untested, unproven so far.
there's a lot of hoops and hurdles to get through, I think, at the moment. So I think PC and mobile will be good enough for our community in terms of adoption.
So the best way people can get involved right now today, it seems like, is the NFT that's available over on Fractal, and I noticed it's also on Magic Eden, but go to Fractal because Fractal's better.
Thank God.
So that's the best way to get involved. Could one of you guys break down what the NFT is, what they get from the NFT, why they'd want the NFT in the first place? And
So the NFT itself is a key card, which basically gives you early access. It is the beta access directly into the beta. So if you don't have a key card, you're not going to be able to get in and actually test the game out initially. Outside of that as well, we're calling it the Genesis Collection. So it actually, when you basically you utilize it in the game for the first time, it's going to, well, the parameters are already in the key card. There are items and parameters in there. We haven't released exactly like which items they go on and which characters they go on, so the community can dig for that. That's we'll let you guys know shortly. But there are 5 items in those cards. There are 5 items in those cards as well. So you'll have one weapon, you'll have one arm piece, one head piece, a chest plate, and legs. And then the Genesis Collection, you'll be able to kind of attach them all to your character, and away you go. So yeah, that's what the initial one is. And then we're gonna do a second drop here in the coming weeks, and that's gonna be the hideout. So what we kind of already covered earlier, it's cardboard box to cardboard box all the way up to a penthouse suite. So those are coming. So and to whitelist for those, you need a key card.
And also, again, to reiterate what Reese said with the key cards, you get 5 extra NFTs. Every key card holder gets 5 extra NFTs, and once those release, they go on the marketplace as well. That's alongside the game launch. So you're kind of getting a loot basket or a loot box.
Pre-order,
like a pre-order, yeah.
I don't know how many people know that or aware of that precisely, but yeah, you get 5 items for that key card as well. And then you get private community access. So if you want to be involved and give us feedback and be part of the process, there's your ticket in as well for the current environment before the game's out. So, but the hideouts coming up, which Reese talked about, is going to be big for I think the community, and they're going to be hyped up with.
You got to see. I can't wait for you guys to see them. I mean, we don't.
April, we'll be able to showcase a lot of what's going to be happening.
Do you have a date yet for the hideout launch?
Not queued currently. No.
Sometime in
not
April.
Not publicly available.
Yeah, sometime in April, but yeah.
Yeah, from an artwork publishing perspective, kind of giving teasers, it's going to be dripping the next 4 weeks. Over the next 4 weeks, we'll be dripping the content. So you'll get little teasers here and there. Yeah, Yeah, we'll make an official soon.
Where's it going to mint at? Is it going to be back on Fractal as well, or is everything?
Yeah, as it stands, kind of in current spec, we liked working with the team, so it'll probably end up back on Fractal. So
cool.
Yeah. Once again, it's kind of a mystery right now. So
it's like this whole space, man. You just keep building and yeah.
Never know what you get. Yeah.
You never know. Everything's a loot box. What other, other than that, did we miss anything that might be like some cool alpha or something you could drop? You already gave us some here, it sounds like, so.
I mean, right now we have the two characters, right? So we have the Street Thug and the Cyborg, but we have two more coming in the next couple months here for leading up to the game. So the alpha will launch with four characters, and those items that people have in the key cards right now are for the actual four characters, not just the two so that you've seen. So we've done character showcases for the first two on our YouTube channel. You can kind of check out those videos. But yeah, there'll be four characters dropping, probably a bunch of hideouts. So and a few more game levels we'll be producing. So stay tuned for those over the next few months in terms of drops.
Could be on the Discord, the Twitter, the website.
Yeah,
cool. We'll make sure to link all that stuff up.
Yeah,
sweet.
So I'm assuming with the characters themselves aren't the NFTs, just what you equip them with are the NFTs, right?
Yeah, so that's the free-to-play component. If you don't have NFTs, you choose the character archetype that you want to do, and each one based on, because the fighting game has a certain style, so whether it be a trapper, all-arounder, that type of thing, their play style and attributes are specific to that archetype, and that's the free-to-play mechanic where you play with the character, it has the power-ups and stuff, but in terms of the enhancements and the visual alterations, those are all NFTs. So again, people that don't know anything about crypto or NFTs can still play the game free to play and not have a very high learning curve experience. They can play it.
With that being said, and this is there is a possibility that there could be characters that are only available on the free to play component, and in the future there could eventually be additional characters that could come into the realm. So, and those could be NFTs. I don't know. We'll see.
They could or could not be. It's going to be a mystery. But as well as like with the Psych token, that's basically your pass to our equivalent of a battle pass and all the exclusive content that you can only get under that. So you're going to need to own Psych tokens to get the full game access, but there'll be a base level where you can play free to play.
Got it. Right on. Is there a date for the token sale? I know that might be further out, but is that
but it'll be, the token will go live around the same time the game goes live. Gotcha. So
cool.
We'll be releasing a token before then.
Solid.
Are there any other games that you guys are excited about outside of Psyker that are kind of on your radar of what you're playing right now?
I mean, I'm a first person shooter enthusiast in my own right. So, I downloaded the beta for Meta Ops, and it seems like a cool demo. So, I'll be stoked to see what they can do with that game, and if there's any more like Battle Royale or Warzone competitors that come out, I don't know how they perform, but looking for more FPS games personally in the space. Yeah, that's just my niche. I love fighting games too, from like a recreational standpoint, me playing against my friends back in the day, but FPS games, I haven't seen any good ones in Web3. And
Mini Royale's okay. I don't know if you've played that. It's very Fortnite, but...
yeah, it's very, very, very Fortnite, but... Yeah, looking for something that's like the same graphic fidelity as Psyker. I mean, that's what we're looking for Psyker in the space.
AAA style, right?
Yeah. We don't want just Roblox games.
that's what we're trying to Minecraft guns.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, exactly. Yeah.
I'm with you, man. I'm looking for the same thing. I hope MetaOps can do something like that. But right on.
Yeah.
Very cool. Oh, cool. Cool. So what, it's just Psyker.game, that is.
That's the one.
Yeah, psyker.game.
Or psyker.com as well. We have both.
Oh,
there you go. New acquisition.
How about Twitter? Is it
Psyker Game on Discord, Twitter, Telegram, Instagram, Facebook, la la. Every single hand you can think of, yeah.
Psyker Game, no spaces, yeah.
Sick. All right. Well, guys, appreciate your time. And I know you guys are freaking slammed after the mint and doing all the dev. So let's stay in touch, because I would definitely want to, you know, keep trickling this thing out to the peeps. And
exactly. It's a fun one. Happy to hop on. And thanks for having us, guys. That was great. So
thanks for having us. Yeah.
Perfect.
Thanks again for tuning into that episode with the Psyker team. You can learn more about their game over at psyker.game. Again, the game is spelled PSYK. Kerr. I want to know what you think about these episodes. Do you like these game breakdowns? Do you want to hear more of them? Come let us know over in Discord. If you go to hustleandflowchart.com/Discord, Joe and I are hanging out there all the time. We'd love to discuss this with you. We'd love to hear your thoughts on it. We'd love to hear what games you want us to bring on the creators of and break down their game with them. So come over to hustleandflowchart.com/Discord and have a chat with us. And also, as a final wrap-up reminder, if you go over to attention.tips, we are putting together a mini course called Engineering Attention, where we're going to show you all of the various ways that we engineer attention for the various companies we work with. Over at Hard Fork Gaming, the new business that Joe and I are building in the blockchain gaming space, that is exactly what we're doing for the various games that we're working with. We're helping them engineer attention. Over the years, with all of our other businesses, with our Pod Hacker course, with our traffic courses that we've sold, with Learn to Blog that I had previously, pretty much the common thread among all of what we've done so far is that we try to figure out how to engineer attention. And we want to show you some of the tactics that we've used successfully to engineer attention for all of these businesses and all of the companies that we're working with now. So that course is a work in progress. Depending on when you're listening to this, you might be getting on the early bird list to get free access to that course over at attention.tips. Or if you're listening to this a few days after it goes live or a few weeks or later, it's definitely going to be ready by now. So check it out over at attention.tips and we'll hook you up with all sorts of cool ways to engineer attention for yourself, for your business, or for your personal brand. You're going to dig it. So head over to attention.tips and thanks so much for tuning in. If you enjoyed this episode or you know somebody that would really love to hear it, please share it around, you know, tweet it out, put it on Facebook, tell people on TikTok or MySpace or wherever you're hanging out these days. Sharing this episode is the most helpful thing that you can do for us and we really appreciate you for it. Thanks so much. We'll see you in the next one. Shh.